Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast and happy Thanksgiving. If you are catching this the day that it comes out, then this is the day before Thanksgiving. So first of all, God bless you. Thank you for taking time to hang out with me right before a busy holiday. Maybe you're baking or running last minute errands or on the road to grandma's house, whatever you're doing. Happy Thanksgiving. I am so thankful for all of you. But I know many of you are probably catching this after Thanksgiving. And if so, mele kaliki maka. We are in the Christmas season. And wow, we've got a lot of fun ahead this year. But I know that with the holidays, whichever holiday we're looking at, comes a lot of challenges and sometimes some stress. And we face many changes, whether that's kids who are growing up, leaving the house, maybe coming back, maybe not able to come back, aging parents, complicated family dynamics. I know that that is a reality when it comes to the holidays. And I am so excited to share today's episode with you all. I invited my friend Krista Gilbert, who is just truly a wealth of wisdom, practical advice. She coaches everything from individuals to corporations, and you are going to be so blessed by everything she shares. We're even going to link to her free Master Your Mindset challenge, and today we're talking really about mastering your holiday mindset, and I think this is going to be super, super helpful. It's also just a really fun conversation between two moms. We're in a similar season of life, so I just love chatting with Krista, and whether you have grown kids or little ones, I think this is going to be really helpful. So, and hopefully you can tuck away a few of the nuggets of wisdom as well for years to come. All right, guys. So can't wait to share this with all of you. Two things I want you to know before we jump in. One is that after next week, we've got another amazing interview. You're going to love it. But after that, we've got three short and sweet episodes that will prepare us for Christmas. These are going to be really practical and really in response to things I've heard from all of you. So definitely plan to hang with me throughout this holiday season. I can't wait to walk through it all with you and celebrate with you. Second, next week will be the first Wednesday of the month of December. And for those of you who are on my email list, you know that I love to send you a special email at the first of the month with links, encouragement, some resources. They're always really packed. So if you're not yet on that list, I hope you will join now over at monicaswanson.com/subscribe. I'll never share your email. I'll never spam you, but I take really good care of my email subscribers. Okay, friends? So now let's dive in, have this great conversation with Krista Gilbert. I'll have a few final words to say at the end, but I hope you're encouraged. Krista, welcome to the podcast.
Monica, I love so much. Anytime I get some space with you, it's always so good.
Oh my goodness, this is just a dream. And I think we could just chat for a whole long time. I sent you this list and we're like, wow, it's a lot to cover, but there's so much I want to get from you because I just love following you online. I love being your friend and there's so much I want to learn from you. So before we jump in, why don't you give a quick introduction?
Well, I'm Krista Gilbert. I am a mom of four kids who are launching into the world. So that's a new season for us. I've been married to my husband for 29 years, and I am a life designer. And what that just means is I help people design a life they love through coaching. And I also have a coaching team that I work with called the Transformation Triad, and we help bring leaders to life. So basically, I just say whatever I'm doing through coaching, whether it's in my own life designing or with my team, that I help people make an impact and leave a legacy that they're proud of.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. And you do that with like all kinds of different, like from individuals to huge companies. Like you are legit.
Thanks, Monica.
You are. When I see what you're doing, I'm like, dang, she's like the real deal. Like there's a lot of coaches out there, but you're like doing some big things. So I'm excited to see all that's ahead. And tell us the ages of your kids now.
So I've got 18, 21, 22, and 25.
And wow, we're very close. Our oldest is the same age. Mm-hmm. I just added that younger one. And just give a quick snapshot at the stages they're at in life before we get into this conversation. Like, what are they all married, college, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Well, my daughter, she is living in Oregon, teaching in a very cool place called Bend, Oregon.
And very cool place.
Yeah, she's loving it. She's loving it. And so she's my oldest. And then my next one, he is in graduate school, actually at Duke Divinity, and he's married. So he's in his second year at Duke. And then my next son is at Point Loma in San Diego, and he is in college. And then my youngest just started college this fall, and he is at Belmont in Nashville.
So cool.
Literally everyone is spread all over the country. And then we recently became empty nesters, but we're actually not calling it that. We're calling it Base Camp, which I wrote about on Instagram.
I love that so much. That's way better, right?
Yeah.
I hope that becomes the new thing.
We are the place that people can come back and refuel and rest and receive nurturing and care, and then they go back out on their adventures. And we're also taking adventures. We're also doing adventures from Base Camp.
Oh, I love that. I hope that becomes the new thing, because really the empty nest years, most of us don't feel great about. Just that, I don't know, the feeling it gives you is not positive, but Base Camp, heck yeah, I can do that.
Yes. Well, and it's adventure based, right? It's they're doing their adventures, and we're giving them freedom to do that, but we also get to do our adventures.
That's right.
And we get to keep those home fires burning a little bit too. And I love both.
Yes. And I'm just going to say, your kids are in some really cool places. You could just hop around visiting them and be pretty happy.
Totally. Serious. I know.
Wow.
Totally. Same with your kids. Let's go camp in Santa Barbara for a while,
right.
Monica.
Yeah, that's not all bad, definitely. But wow, so much fun. And and also you have one of my very, very favorite podcasts. Sincerely, tell us about your podcast, because everyone needs to tune into that. I've shared it many times in my emails and online.
Thank you. That's so kind, Monica. It's called Our Time to Rise, and it's for women in midlife, so between about 40 to 60. And it is a call for women to rise up to whatever they're facing, whether that's an opportunity or a challenge or a season that's hard, but to rise up in that. And we cover all kinds of different topics. Mm-hmm. So we did an election ready series. Sometimes we'll do it on, the holidays. Sometimes we'll have a series about, you may be in midlife if, or we had one, Who Am I If, which actually was a really powerful series where we said, we filled in the blank. So who am I if I no longer have kids at home to raise? Who am I if I don't recognize myself in the mirror? Who am I if, my parents are aging and they can't take care of me and now I'm taking care of them?
Yeah.
So, right, like, who are we when these roles shift and when change happens? And that's really a lot of what our podcast is about, is how do we rise up in those moments?
So good. I'm going to link to that in show notes, and everyone should definitely go check it out. You guys do such a great job. Well, I wanted to prepare here with everyone listening for the holidays. I like to say that I'm good at being present, like in the moment, but sometimes I forget then to prepare for what's ahead. I'm not the person who does my Christmas shopping in October. I maybe someday will be, but I'm just always like working on that thing of like mentally preparing for something before I'm right there in it. And when I started thinking about holidays, probably last summer, to be honest, you were the first person that came to mind. I'm like, I need to just bring Krista on and she can help us all, because I get the feeling that you aren't like me in that. You're thinking ahead a little bit. It's part of your coaching personality. But I love to follow you in the holidays, partly because, hello, you're home and your design touch and your hospitality, you do such a beautiful job. It just gets me like really excited.
Thank you, Monica. Well, yeah. My goal is to have you at my table.
I can't wait. One of these holidays. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I love it. But I get super inspired. And what I love too, and we'll get to this before this conversation ends, is you really do things that are doable, even if we don't have the home you have or live in a place where there might be snow and it's all magical. You still give some really practical, helpful tips. So I love all of that. But I also love that you're in this season and you're embracing it so well. So I am excited to talk about the holidays, and this will come out the week of Thanksgiving. If anyone's listening while you're preparing for Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to you. And I also know that some people are going to catch this a little bit later. So this is whatever you're facing, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year, we're going to talk about all of it, especially in an area that you and I both love to talk about, which is mindset and perspective and all of that. And so let's start with that. Let's talk about expectations as we head into these holidays. Can you just kind of open that up with some groundwork for us?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, yes. Managing expectations is truly like one of our jobs around the holidays, because here's just an example. Like, let's say that the mom wants everyone to be singing Christmas carols around the piano and to share deep thoughts about Jesus by the tree. And that's just not your family. And so now you have this expectation that you want it to be this way, but actually it's probably never been that way. That's just not how your family is.
Yeah, right.
And so now there's this clash, and then we're disappointed. And then that negative energy we start to embody because we're disappointed, and then that we can't hide it. And so now we're bringing all that negative energy into the family. Well, now they're responding to our energy and now they have negative energy.
Now
no one is having fun.
Right.
And one of the things my husband and I, we say the most obvious statement, but if it's no fun, it is no fun. Like, why are we doing this? And so, you know, one of the things that has been helpful for me is to just open my arms and say, Jesus, this is what is. And what would it look like for me to just take what is and invite him into that space? So maybe not my family is not the sit around the piano and all in unison and harmony sing Christmas carols. Okay, but what are we in that moment? And how do I just say, Jesus, be in the middle of this, be right in the midst. I mean, that is you, God with us, Emmanuel. So be in the midst of this reality, because he is our reality, and we can bring him into reality, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I do think that managing expectations piece is huge.
Yeah.
How have you found that you do that, Monica?
Right. Oh, I just love everything you just said. And I'm just thinking, you know, when you have that negative energy, if anything, your kids are going to want to find somewhere else to be. Mm-hmm. And so then it's really defeating the whole thing. So, oh, I love that. But I think it was in Boy Mom where I talk about how from the time my kids were young, I've always had this picture in my head of the dinner table at holidays when they're older. Like, that was just something I grew up. I think I had fond memories of coming home to my parents' home and being a young adult there. And so that's always been on my mind, but it is a tricky vision because we can't, there's certain things that are outside of our control. What it's actually going to be like may look very different from what I pictured when my little toddlers were at home. And so, yeah, I think it's an ongoing practice for sure.
Well, and then when we cement that image, for example, we are not freed up to be surprised by joy.
Yes.
And I think that is such a key piece to this, is we want to be people who get to be surprised by joy and to be delighted by that. When something does happen that goes completely right, or there's that really special moment as a family or with one of your kids or your spouse or your friend, whoever it is, then we get to delight in that moment rather than be resentful of the moments that aren't happening or unfolding the way that we pictured they would.
Yes, that is so good. I love that. And I do think it's a choice we have to make. I think like you, I really try to, in my time with the Lord, just say, this day is yours. This holiday is yours. Often for us, my husband being a hospital physician, he works through a lot of the holidays. It's kind of every other. And Thanksgiving, typically my oldest two kids don't even fly home from California. And so just being able to have that open mind and heart is an absolute choice. But you know, when you do it, you're never let down. Like God always shows up and surprises you in some way, but it is a choice we have to make, I think, each time. And it's always going to look different, right?
Well, and that gets to something called metacognition, which is a fancy way of saying we're thinking about our thinking. Yeah. And so, for example, I'm just going to give a real practical example. So, you know, I have a son now who just got married. And so now, instead of him being with us for every holiday, we're sharing. And that looks different now than it did before. So I have a choice to make. Mm-hmm. And I can be sad and feeling depressed that our family's not whole anymore because he's not there on Christmas Day, you know, or I can say, well, this is an opportunity, but I have to stop in between that thought and response. I have to stop and think about my thinking. And here's the thing that's so critical is that we actually have to boss our brains. Our brains will run wild. They will think all kinds of things. And we actually need to stop it and say, no, I am going to bring those thoughts to the prefrontal cortex and I am going to choose the way that I'm thinking about this. So instead, so as that example, because I think it's one that a lot of us go through as our kids grow up and get married, is we can say, okay, what opportunity is there in this that wasn't there before? Oh, I have a new daughter-in-law and she's bringing all sorts of beautiful traditions into our family, a beautiful presence into our family. Oh, I get to focus on these three kids a little bit more. You know, I mean, whatever it is, you have to come up with what it is for you, but what is the opportunity in that? And the only way we get there is by thinking about our thinking.
Okay, that's so good. I love that. And I think another example to add to that is for us here on an island is we often adopt other young adults who don't have a home to go to. And in the last couple of years, some of our good friends who live on Maui have flown over and our families have done Thanksgiving together. And it's like this new tradition that probably I couldn't have imagined years ago, but it's become super special. So I think having that open mind also gives you opportunities to do some really cool new things.
That is such a great example of being delighted and surprised by joy in something that you didn't plan, but that now is bringing your life richness that you didn't anticipate.
Yeah.
You know, I think about Colossians 3, 12 through 15, and I love the voice message. And it just says, since you are all set apart by God, made holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with a holy way of life, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Put up with one another. Forgive, pardon any offenses against one another as the Lord has pardoned you, because you should act in kind. But above all these, put on love, because love is the perfect tie to bind these together. And then it ends with this, and I love this piece for the holidays especially. It says, let your hearts fall under the rule of the anointed's peace. The peace you were called to is one body, and be thankful.
Wow.
And I feel like that if we can make a pre-decision as we go into the holidays in our minds, and this is such a deep, this is deep mindset work, and it's letting Christ renew our minds, but to say, I am going to choose whatever happens, whatever is circumstantially on the other side of me, I am going to choose to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. And I am going to let the peace of Christ rule in me because Jesus did it first. He brought peace to the world. So,
wow. Oh, that's so good, Krista.
And it changes everything, right, Monica?
It changes everything. I'm gonna write that down and have that be my like scripture for the holidays. And I'll put it in show notes too. And what I love about that verse is how it opens with clothe yourself, because I've had to tell my sons before, clothes don't go on you. You've got to put them on. They don't just jump on. So it is an active process of saying, I'm gonna choose this, just like putting on a shirt or a jacket. I'm gonna clothe myself, which is an intentional choice. That is so beautiful.
And one of the things that I think we forget is that we can choose whether we're offended or not. Mm. We can choose whether, I mean, and I am the first to say, like, I have not done this well in the past. I will never forget. There was a moment, a Christmas, and I had a big conflict with one of my kids. It was big. Mm. It was right around Christmas, and it was so sad. And when I reflect back on that, because one thing I say as a coach all the time is it's not experience that makes us wiser. It's actually reflected experience. You have to reflect on your experience and say, what was happening inside of me? What was happening between us that caused this? So then we don't do it again. That's that reflected experience makes us wiser. Well, when I look back on that scenario, I can see, one, I had expectations. Mm. I had expectations of how that child would be expressing their love to me and how I would be receiving that and what would be happening between us.
Yeah.
I also can look back and say, what was happening inside of me? Well, inside of me, I was not managing and self-regulating myself in that moment. I wasn't spending time with the Lord to receive that compassion, that kindness, that patience, right? I wasn't self-regulated, and I needed to do more practices and make room, because around Christmas, we don't have room. And so then all the things that really matter get cut out.
Yeah.
And so as I reflect back on that, I can say now, had I been self-regulated, had I been managing my expectations and set my mind to Christ, that wouldn't have happened.
Wow.
But it did happen. And so now I'm going to move forward. That's okay. Now I'm going to move forward, learn from that mistake, and not do it again.
Wow. Okay. That's huge. I love that so much. And I think, too, we can all prepare ahead of, we don't have to go through the negative to learn from it. We can even hear that and be like, wow, I could see that happening. So maybe a quick word to the parents who are first-time empty nesters, or maybe even just have one child who's away. They're going to come back. It might be a short visit. And my boys don't get a long Christmas holiday visit. And like I said, they don't even come home for Thanksgiving. What's one piece of wisdom you would give to those preparing for that season?
Yeah. I hunt the good in it. I mean, that's a phrase. It's actually, I took that phrase from the Army. They created a program that was designed to help resiliency in soldiers coming back from war or from just, you know, hard things that they were facing. And one of their main tenets was hunt the good. And that gets to all the research and study around gratitude. But but I would just say hunt the good. We are so quick. And unfortunately, our brains don't help us with that. Our brains are like Velcro to the negative. So hunting the good fights that, because they say that our brains are like Teflon with positive. And so we actually have to, again, boss our brain. We have to boss our brain and say, no, I am going to find the good things in this season. And we're back to the opportunity. What is the opportunity in this? I mean, that's one of the things that Eric and I have been asking as we are in this new season of life, which can feel very sad. And there can be a lot of grief and loss, which it has. Absolutely. And we have to acknowledge that. And, and I have felt that. I mean, that is a huge transition for a parent. And yet there is great opportunity in it. And we're really discovering that. I mean, we are only 3 months in, but we're discovering, wow, there's a lot of opportunity in this season that we didn't have before. And so ask those questions. Where is the good, and what is the opportunity?
That's super helpful. And I do think you can take the exact same week and have an entirely different experience based on whether or not you choose to do that. So everybody, do it. Like, really, do that work. And it is work that happens really, I think, just between you and the Lord before you face anybody. So your memories will be very different depending on how you go into things. And you can't control anybody else. They may not be doing things the way you want them to, but you can control yourself. So that's good. Well, let's.
Well, I want to say one more thing about that, Monica, that's actually, I think, really good. So there's a book that has changed my life. It really has in so many ways. It's called Interior Freedom, and it's written by a Catholic priest named Jacques Philippe. Mm-hmm. And it's so profound. It's this tiny book that's so meaty. But one of the things he talks about is when we are faced with change, we either we rebel against it, we basically push against it, or we resign in it. So that's more that victim mentality, that poor me, can't believe this is my life now, right? So we resign. Or the third way, which is the way that we want, is we consent to it. And what that means is we feel the weight of it, but we actually allow it. And counselors call that other things, you know, where we're kind of like committed to reality and, you know, things like that. But I think that's an important piece of it is because we actually have to consent in the way that he defines it. We have to consent to the current reality in order to lean into the good of the current reality.
Yeah. That's a big shift right there. I love that. Mm. It's almost like you're actively moving forward with it, even if it's uncomfortable or brings some grief. I love that. Yeah. Okay, I'm taking so many notes as we're talking. Good. So people can go over to show notes and see if I actually am getting it right. I'm doing my best, but this is such good stuff. See, I told you, you're legit. This is so great. Well, I want to touch on too the fact that a lot of people listening have aging parents, possibly have lost a parent in the past year or years. And that adds another layer to this whole process of going into the holidays, wanting to consent to the change, but it can be really hard. So what experience do you have with that? Where are you at? I know you have amazing parents. How's that situation in your family?
Yeah, I mean, I feel personally really fortunate because my parents are doing very well as they are aging and they have set themselves up well. But we also have in our lives a contrast to that. And we have some other circumstances that are more challenging. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we ask ourselves a lot is how do we honor everyone involved? And that doesn't mean we do everything that everyone asks of us. It means that our goal is to honor, because the opposite of that is dishonor. And that's not what we want to communicate. And that's not what we want to show these people who mean so much to us. And so I think one of the questions to ask is, what is important to them? In the holiday season, what means the most to them? And we may be surprised by their answer.
That's
because
right.
maybe what means the most to them is going to the Nutcracker with you, or maybe it's literally just sitting in your home while you're making Christmas cookies. We often have no idea. We think
you're
know what other people are going to say, but often we actually don't know when
huge.
We ask them. It may surprise us. And so I think, you know, in trying to think differently about, okay, if I can find out what truly matters to my mom and dad or my aunt and uncle or whoever it is that you are caring for, if I can find out what truly matters to them, then I'm actually meeting them with more love because I'm filling their love bucket in a way that they want it to be filled, rather than feeling guilty about this or that and the other thing and then trying to throw a bunch of things at that.
Wow. Hey friends, since my book, Becoming Homeschoolers, released last May, and my online course, The Well-Rounded Homeschooler, came out this last summer, I have loved hearing from so many people who took my advice and checked out diveintomath.com for their kids' math and science curriculum. Kids love this curriculum because the lessons are short, but packed with everything they need, and if they stay on top of things, they have a 4-day school week. Dr. Shorman is a good friend of ours, and he teaches everything from a biblical perspective. And we also love that he prepares kids well if they want to go to college. Dr. Shorman's Algebra 1 and 2 teach every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions, which is really important if kids want to keep that door open to go to college. Now, Dr. Shorman also teaches his math based on John Saxon's proven teaching methods of continual review and the integration of algebra and geometry. My boys took math and science from Dr. Shorman through Dive Into Math through the AP level, and they say that this helped them get into college and also transition smoothly in their college classes, which were mostly math and science. Go over to diveintomath.com. Check it out. I think you're going to love what you find there. Hey friends, it is time to start thinking about Christmas, and that includes, yes, Christmas shopping. And there's no doubt, there's nothing quite like finding the perfect gift for the special people on your Christmas list. But let's be honest, it's easy to feel uninspired, especially when life gets busy. We've all been there, scrambling for ideas and then experiencing chaotic trips to the mall. Christian Parenting is here to help ease that stress. They've put together a Christmas gift guide packed with faith-based products and experiences all in one place. Isn't that great? I love it. You can visit christianparenting.org/Christmas to get your free Christmas gift guide today. This guide is designed to make your shopping easier and more meaningful. Whether you're shopping for kids, parents, grandparents, or friends, we have ideas that are perfect for every age, stage, and interest. Christian Parenting also has amazing Advent resources for your family. If you're looking for fun and creative ways to keep Jesus at the center of your Christmas season, those resources are in the guide as well. From family activities to devotionals just for kids, you are guaranteed to find the perfect Advent resource you've been looking for. So definitely go visit christianparenting.org/Christmas to get your free Christmas gift guide today. I think it's going to be super helpful.
That's awesome. And I think the same probably would apply to our kids if we're feeling stretched and like, how do I make everybody happy? Well, sometimes what really makes them happy, their greatest holiday memories or hopes aren't as complicated as we might think, right?
Well, so. Yeah. In fact, that is a practical tip that I have for parents is to say with your older kids, ask them of all the things that we do around Christmas, what is the one thing you don't want to miss? Yeah. And for me, I have four. So now I have five with my daughter-in-law. Yeah. So if I have five things, that's a lot. But now at least I know that I'm hitting on all five. And then if I include myself in that, or my husband in that, or something, you know. Yeah. So, but at least I know that my efforts are being put in a way that feels impactful rather than just doing all the things and becoming really exhausted because I'm trying to do it all.
Yes, I couldn't agree more that we often assume somebody needs something. Maybe it's kind of like the love languages, right? Like we assume that they need what we need when in reality it may not be. And I think even with our extended family, if we can't show up in the way that would mean the most to them, just communicating with them maybe that, hey, I know this is what you would love and I wish I could do it, but in the new year, maybe we could plan something that fits that, something that they can look forward to, because there's a chance that you're not going to get to see someone in person, and that's really what they want. You know, my husband's dad is in Oregon, and he's not feeling comfortable traveling anymore, and Dave works, and so he can't see his dad, but can we plan something to look forward to in the new year? So I think communication is huge in all that, too.
That is so wise, Monica. And it's honoring. Again, we're back to like, it's honoring of him.
Yeah.
And I think clear is kind, and we actually do the opposite. We think that by not communicating, we're somehow doing people a service. Mm. And yet the opposite is true. It comes across as being uncaring, as being basically not considering their feelings. Mm-hmm. And it also comes across as being ungrateful for whatever maybe tradition we had with those people before. Yeah. I mean, for the first time, we're doing something different for Thanksgiving because of the nature of the season that our family is in. And that's requiring us to not do something with the extended family that we've always done.
Mm.
It's a change of tradition. Wow. But you think about that happens as your family starts to grow and as people start to have crazy schedules and really busy adult lives, things may need to change. And so being fluid with that change is really important for all of us, and accepting that change if you're on the receiving end of that change, which is hard. but being a clear communicator so that people feel honored in the process. And like you said, coming up with a third way, hey, we can't do this year, but here's what we can do. What do you think about that? Or do you have an idea?
Yes. Oh, these are all so helpful. And I think they're great things to be thinking about. For those of you with younger kids or who aren't in that next stage or season yet, these are good things to be processing and thinking about before you're in the moment, right? But okay, before we wrap up, Krista, I know you've got a few more mindset shifts, kind of perspective, helpful tools for us. So I'd love to hear anything else you have to offer, and then we can point people to where they can learn more from you.
Well, I know we had already talked about a little bit, but there is something in your brain called the default mode network. And basically what that means is that you have created grooves in your brain that your brain likes to follow, that track. It's like think of a motorcycle track. And you've gone round and round and round. And so now it's a well-worn trail. And so, you know, just for us to really be thinking about, what are those well-worn trails that maybe are not serving me anymore?
Yes.
And then make some, I mean, I keep note cards near the place where I do my quiet time, and I am constantly writing declarations on them. I'm writing prayers. I'm writing verses. Do something tangible that you can say out loud to yourself that is going to directly come up against that well-worn trail that you no longer want to travel because it is no longer benefiting you to travel that road. And maybe, you know, and be compassionate with yourself. Maybe there was a reason you had to create that protective thinking or whatever. Like, that's okay. But you've grown, you've changed, you've matured, and now you want something better for yourself. And so have those note cards. Put them up in, you know, on your bathroom mirror, or keep it in your Bible where you're going to see it every day if you're someone who does that. Put it honestly on the steering wheel in your car. That's one of the most effective places because I'm driving. So I'm just constantly like looking at it and I can say it out loud. But we will default to what we've always done because it is the law of inertia. We will slide back into those patterns unless we actively fight against them. And so what can you, that would be, I guess, be my encouragement is what can you do to actively come up against those limiting beliefs or those negative thoughts?
Yeah, that's a game changer. I love that. I love all the mindset stuff. Speaking of which, I have taken your free mindset. What do we call it?
Master your mindset.
In 7 days, friends, we're going to link to that over in show notes, but it's so powerful. Anyone who is taking notes and listening to the things Krista's sharing, she puts all of that and more into this 7-day challenge that you're going to love. So we're going to link to that in show notes, but it's all so powerful and it applies to so many areas of life. Yes, holidays, but well beyond that. Okay, Krista, so if I can't be at your home this holiday season, what can I do? It's not my gift. I love hospitality. I do love it, but I'm not the most magical like decorator and all that. Can you just give us something for those of us who are challenged or busy or don't feel good at it? What can we do to just, you know, channel a little Krista in our lives?
Well, I'll just give some really practical things. We'll just go, really practical. I would say one, pick your three colors and stick to them. So if you're red, green, and white, go red, green, and white. If you are maroon, gold, and black, do that. I mean, whatever your colors are, pick three and stick to it. And then you'll just find that it brings a lot of harmony to your decorating when you actually have that in mind. And the good thing is it pairs it down for you. It basically, if you're at Hobby Lobby and you see a really cute pink bow, but that's not one of your three colors, you don't buy it.
There we go.
Instead to the others.
So practical.
That's the first. The second I would say is have high impact areas. So a lot of us think that to decorate for Christmas, we have to decorate the whole house. We don't.
My grandma.
Have a couple of places that are high impact. So maybe one is by your Christmas tree, one is by your front door, and one is on your kitchen island. Okay, now you've just created the feeling and magic of the holidays without feeling like you have to go decorate the whole house and have Christmas stuff everywhere.
Right.
So a lot of times we spread things out. I would say instead group things together. Think groups rather than standalones. So create what I call a vignette. So create a vignette. Try and create heights to that vignette. So you'll have a riser. Or a box. You can even cover the box with a dish towel or a, you know, a runner or a tablecloth. Mm. And you create heights, differing heights, and then you have your little grouping, your vignette, and that creates this special magic of, you know, Christmas decorations without having to spend so much money.
Awesome. That's great. That's actually really different. I just took notes on things I've never even thought about before. So that's new for me.
I would also say, you know, the Target twinkle lights that come in those little packs, they are stunning. They make everything so beautiful. And so get the twinkle lights and throw those on everything. I mean, I use twinkle lights with my regular white lights on my Christmas tree so that you've got a little bit of twinkle without it being overbearing and all twinkle. But, you know, even things like that, they create that little bit of specialness that we want to feel without having to go overboard.
Okay. I love that. I love twinkle lights. I'm like, what did we do before they were a thing? Like, they add so much joy. And my kids keep lights in their bedroom year round. Like, it just adds so much. Okay. For those who are catching this on the week of Thanksgiving. This is, I didn't plan this one, but I'm just realizing, what's a last minute something we can do to make Thanksgiving a little more special? Do you have any ideas on that one?
Yes, I love to do, okay, two things I'd recommend for Thanksgiving. The first one is have a place card. I know it's the silliest thing, but because people think place cards are formal. I actually think the opposite. I think place cards communicate, I have prepared a place for you.
Wow.
That is set apart. This is your seat. And then here's what you can do on the other side of the place card. Because you may not have time. You're cooking Thanksgiving. You don't have time to write everyone a note. But what you can do is write one word that describes them.
What?
So if, you know,
I'm getting goosebumps here. This is so sweet.
Yes,
I love it.
But so, like, Monica, if you were coming to my table, you know, I would... I have so many words I could write. I could write creative. I could write kind. I could write thoughtful. Talented. Like, there's so many words, but I could just pick one. Mm-hmm. And then when everyone sits down, I tell the whole table what word I just chose for you. And then I go around and I say, you know, you don't have to do that part, but you could. And that just affirms, that starts your Thanksgiving on such a high note because you've just told everyone in public what that word is. So that's one. I would say, you know, another thing is having questions ready at the table and having those conversation starters where, again, how can my goal is to always make people feel at home. That's what I want them to feel when they are at my table, when they're at my house. And so part of that is easing conversation. So especially if there's some tense dynamics, which sometimes Thanksgiving is actually the holiday where that more happens. Like Christmas, you may not be with everybody, but Thanksgiving tends to be one of those holidays that brings the masses. And so if it's going to be going in that direction,
especially in an election year,
post-election, then have your conversation starters and have them in a basket and everybody picks one and answers around the table. Mm. And that just creates this feeling of hospitality and warmth because you're sharing stories. That's what you're doing.
Yes. And usually that brings laughter and just lightens everything. Mm-hmm. So good. Okay. I love that. All right. Well, I could just keep going. This is my favorite stuff in the world.
I mean, I could talk a few more practical tips.
Just give a couple more before we wrap up.
Okay. Well, I would say, you know, cook ahead as much as you can. So, and so for example, I'll just give a little example. I always do cinnamon rolls on Christmas, but homemade cinnamon rolls. I've got a recipe that's fantastic. It's Amish cinnamon rolls. And so we'll have to link to it.
Okay.
But, I do that in early December with some of my girlfriends. So we all, they come over and we all make cinnamon rolls together
so fun.
And then it's done for Christmas.
And you freeze them?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Totally. All right.
And I put in there like how I par bake them, which just means I halfway bake them. Oh. And then I finish baking them on Christmas morning. So
amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, things like that. I am now like my niece and her friends are coming over. She goes to college nearby this week. And so I made them lasagna and I made two other lasagnas for Christmas. So I'm already starting to cook ahead and to think ahead. And one of the things we don't think about is that people have to be fed all throughout Christmas, not just on the day or Christmas Eve. Yes,
right.
And so I will, like now I actually am starting to make soups. I'm doubling soups and freezing some. I am, you know, as much as I can, just trying to think
goodness.
Through. But with older kids, the benefit is they can do things. So we also, like for Thanksgiving week, I've got my family on family teams. We just drew teams. And so that team is on for that night and everybody's deciding together what they're making and they're responsible for, you know, figuring it out and then also for the cleanup that day.
Okay, I'm trying not to compare myself to you right now.
Oh my gosh, Monica, no.
I'm like, this is so good. Did your mom do this stuff or is this just stuff you've figured out on your own? Teams, like that's brilliant. Genius.
Well, people have all kinds of variations of it. And we're going to try it with our extended family this year after Christmas, where we're going to put extended family teams on for dinner, which will be fun. But even with your own immediate family, then that way the mom's just not in the kitchen 24/7 because the older kids can help.
Yes, they can. And they end up having fun working together, helping, I find. Have you ever done one thing I'm thinking about doing since we'll have some, you know, good friends and young adults joining us for Thanksgiving this year. Have you ever done anything like talent show or a contest, anything fun, like besides the meal itself?
I love that. We are big game players. So okay. I usually I'll do an Olympics, like a Christmas Olympics. my son Hudson last year, we had all of his friends from high school over and with all the moms, we did a mom and son night.
Oh my goodness.
And we did a big Christmas Olympics and it was so
what kind
much
of stuff
fun.
Do you do in that?
I mean, we did things from, we did all sorts of things. I can send you, in fact, I think I have it
but
on
are
Instagram.
They like sports?
Or no, like, no,
no,
no. Okay. So like everyone's around the island and they have to build something with their teeth.
I remember
only.
Seeing this.
Like, yeah. Like
yes.
They have a noodle, like we had to string, you have to hold like a spaghetti noodle and then you have to string
okay.
those little round noodles.
Uh-huh.
We had, you know, where you have to like pick up candy canes with your mouth, you know,
okay,
and you try
so
and
fun.
Like build a chain of candy canes.
Yeah, like youth group games, basically,
yeah,
but
I
moms
mean, you
and
know,
sons.
It's like minute to win it, actually.
Oh,
it's like
so
kind of minute to win it games, but
yes.
It is really fun. And so I love to do stuff like that.
Okay.
We've had like those reindeer hats. Have you seen those? And people
uh-huh.
have to
oh,
put
yeah.
the ring on mm-hmm. the antler.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to be thinking about this. I want to do
so
something for
fun.
Thanksgiving.
It's so fun. I mean, people end up, and like we often will also do where you get those red Solo cups
mm-hmm.
and you can put little prizes in them and some of them have like a lifesaver and others have like $10. So you don't know and you put tissue paper over it with a rubber band and then people you know, bounce a ball into one of the Solo cups and then they get to break through that tissue and then pick their prize.
Aww.
And it's like so fun because some people get nothing
yes.
and then some
yeah,
people
life
get
saver.
Like this fun prize. So that's a fun one too.
Okay. That's awesome. And I mean, really the sky's the limit. You could think of anything, just think of something, right? Like,
yeah,
we want to make memories and new memories are always good. So
yeah. Aww. You know, I love Priya Parker's book, The Art of Gathering. She is just great. And one of the things she always says is before any gathering, ask, what is the purpose of this particular gathering this particular year? And it's just a great question because it makes you define success for that gathering. But then also you can ask other people, what is success for you? We may not want to say it that way, but ask a question that basically asks them, what is success for you? What mm-hmm. does that look like for you?
Yeah.
So like my husband and I, we may even be on different pages. So we need mm-hmm. to say, what does success look like for you at the end of this holiday season?
Yeah, I love that. And I think even that's circling back to talking about kids coming home or visiting for the holidays, like for me to ask my adult sons, you've got 1 week. What would be a win, you might say? Mm-hmm. Like, what's one thing that would make this feel like everything you dreamt it would be? And then ask my parents the same question. And like you said, we can't please everybody's specific desires, mm-hmm. but I think we can honor them by really having that in mind.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're making me excited and inspired. So thanks.
Yeah. Well, we'll do this together, Monica.
Yes, we will. And I'll be just on your Instagram every day following. So don't let me down. And listening to your podcast. I'm imagining you're going to have more holiday stuff on the podcast.
We are. We are going to do an Advent series this year.
Series. Good. Mm-hmm. Oh, how fun. Yeah. And Alex, who you do the podcast with, has been on my podcast and she has great books. Also, you didn't mention your book. Can you talk about that briefly before I let you go?
Oh, thank you. It's called Reclaiming Home, A Family's Guide to Life, Love, and Legacy. And it's definitely designed for people just to get your wheels turning, like we're doing on this podcast.
Exactly.
Really.
Exactly.
Get your wheels turning of what are some traditions you can incorporate? What are some ideas you can, whether you're a grandparent or a parent of young kids or, you know, middle-aged kids, older kids.
It's been a while since you wrote that. So you had younger kids then.
Yes.
Yes, but it's so good. It's one of my favorites. Again,
thank you, Monica.
Topic is like your thing. So we'll link to all of that in show notes. Krista, what a fun conversation. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And I thought I would end with this quote, Monica, that I just love. And it's a quote that I got from a Jesuit priest, but it says, it's not joy that makes us grateful. It's gratitude that makes us joyful. And so just to end on that, that actually, if we try and kind of muster up joy, sometimes that can be complicated. But actually, if we focus on gratitude during the holiday season, that actually springs forth joy. And so focus on gratitude.
Wow. That's awesome. That's like, I'm going to pin that up for the whole family to see. Beautiful. Great quote. I can't believe I don't think I've ever heard that before. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Monica, for having me on. Your podcast is just amazing. You do such an incredible job.
Well, thank you. Where can somebody hop online and just look for you and follow what you're doing?
KristaGilbert.com is the best place. I love Instagram. I'm over there, Krista T. Gilbert. And I also, my coaching team's website is thetransformationtriad.com.
Woo, yay. Well, thanks for taking time out of your very busy life to join us. I'm sure we'll want to have you back on for more great talks down the road. So God bless you and aloha.
Thanks, Monica.
All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And if you didn't have your pen and paper handy or your phone notes or whatever, I took some notes for you. So you can head over to monicaswanson.com/Krista-Gilbert and see my notes and links to where you can find Krista and all the rest. Okay, so please do spread the word about this episode. I think it could encourage some of your friends as they go into the holidays as well. So God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving, Mele Kalikimaka, and have a wonderful rest of your week. Until next time, aloha.